Okay, so just before Rich comes to speak, I spent quite a lot of time this week looking on the internet, like you do, Googling forgiveness. What does it mean? Definitions, this, that, and the other. And, you know, there's some sort of funnier sides to things. There's some really good clips of kids that have done things wrong, cut their sister's hair, and looking at mum like, oh, you know, frightened rabbits of what have I done? Looking for the sorry word that's really hard to say sometimes. Animals, they're really funny ones where, you know, the dogs obviously chewed something up and looking really sorry for themselves. And then there's the more kind of serious message, films like The Shack, where the dad was looking for a time where he could forgive his daughter's killer, which, you know, was a really strong message. And it's a repeated thing, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, we have to go through that time of repeating that forgiveness message. And there's actually also an opportunity this week where for the chick flick movie for MFest is all about forgiveness, actually, where it's a true story. It's a testimony story of a guy that's in a band called Mercy Me. And he speaks of his relationship with his father, which was a bullying situation. He didn't treat him very well. But actually, it's a whole story of forgiveness of his father and how he was treated. And so that's going to be the girly movie night on Wednesday this week. So, yeah, lots of opportunities to hear the message of forgiveness over the next week or two. And, yeah, so just invite Rich up now to pray with him before we start. And I'm going to be handing out, just as Rich is talking, I'm going to hand out some post-it notes. And the idea behind that is that as Rich is talking, I want, as you're listening to the message, if that resonates with you, if you've got someone that you feel that you've been carrying unforgiveness for, or you want to seek God for forgiveness for a situation, just encourage you to write it on the post-it note. And there'll be an opportunity during the last few worship songs to come to the cross and just lay that at the cross. Just give it to God, because we want you to be free from that tonight. We don't want you to be carrying stuff around that God can handle for you and heal you for. So I'll be doing that as Rich is talking a bit later on. So come on up, Rich.
Hi, everybody. I was hoping we could have a few more worship songs so I could put this off a bit longer, but... I think safe to say talking in front of you all ranks alongside my fear of flying and snakes, but I'm not allowed to apologise or Jonathan will come up here. I wanted to talk to you all about forgiveness, share some testimony and also kind of my insight on how it's affected my life and my faith as well. And it's allowed me to have a relationship with God, and it's really fundamentally changed everything for me in my life. From where I used to be to where I am now. Some of the things that I'm going to share tonight are really personal, and I wasn't really sure quite if I should share them, but I really felt when praying about it that God really wanted me to come and tell you all some, you know, really personal stuff. So I apologize if I lose it a little bit. As this is outside of my comfort zone, I want to share that with you and ensure that you will get involved as well. And I hope that will set the scene for tonight. I want you all to close your eyes. Sorry. I'll close my eyes, and at this point you can run away because I won't be looking. I want you to picture a time where someone has said or done something that has really hurt you emotionally or sometimes even physically. This could be something someone's done to you or something someone said to you or something done to someone you love. And what they have done is something that has stayed with you for hours, days, or even maybe even years. And this could have been a spoken or an unspoken action. And I want you to think about how that impacted upon your life and think about how it made you feel. And maybe more importantly, how you feel about it now. Anyway, you can open your eyes now. For me, there's lots of examples which have stayed with me for a long time, which vary in degrees of impact that they had upon my life. From time when one of my family told me that I'd only get a job being a labourer on a building site because I couldn't do my times tables, to when my best friend at the time said they would call me back when my father lay dying, but they didn't, to when my grandfather said he was glad that my father had died and that I was just like him. What do all these things have in common? Well, these are some of my most painful memories. And on each occasion, they created an emotional link between me and the individual. And that kept us connected, even though I didn't realize it for a long time. I find that as the years went by, these links, or you can call them scars, constantly pulled at me and dragged me down, and they didn't allow me to move forwards. And this, alongside a list of other bad choices that I made, you know, put me in the position where I was. And I remember when I first came to church, and that first time that someone prayed for me, and the first time that I realized that I actually wanted a bit of that. I wanted to change, and I was ready to change. For those who don't know me, when I first joined the church, I was described on a number of occasions as an angry young man. Personally, I think being called young was the highlight of that conversation, though being angry was unfortunately quite accurate as well. This is something that I'll come back to later. But I remember when I started praying, and I was asking God to forgive me and give me the strength to forgive others, and realizing the kind of person that I'd actually been. And that was really tough. And I was really angry, which was also really scary. When I weighed through all the options, I realized it was a bit of a shock to me that these individuals may have said and done those things, but it was me who chose them to keep them with me. And it was me who chose not to let them go. And importantly, not to forgive those people. When I decided to get baptized, it was an important part of my journey, a conscious choice and acknowledgement that I had to change. And I really did believe. There's a great bit in the Message translation at Colossians 2, 13 to 15, which spoke to me. It told me that all of my sins had been forgiven and the price was paid. It says, if it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it, all sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. Realised that a lot of my situations had created scars. I'm not talking about physical ones, even though I've got plenty of those from being clumsy. But emotional scars. Sometimes they're self-inflicted, and sometimes it's because of what someone's done. But these scars, for me at least, they defined me. I remember how they occurred and ultimately became part of my character. But we live in a fallen world where atrocities are committed on a day-to-day basis, and there may be some of you here today that have had unspeakable things happen to them, or know unspeakable things that have happened to someone they love. And maybe some of you have or had these scars and know how this can impact your life and how it can stay with you. The Bible tells us about forgiving ourselves. And personally, I see that as part of the process, as talking through my problems with God and trying not to, but always successfully sharing this with my church family. It's important to be held accountable, but also taking comfort in the support that that gives. I know for me, the love that I've received from some of you has had a massive impact on my life. I don't really know quite what I would do without some of you guys who've helped me. It taught me that even if I didn't always believe that God loves me, he really does. Being able to forgive myself and learning about grace was really the starting point for me becoming a Christian. When it comes to forgiving others, though, I think there's a great bit in Matthew 18 and 21 where Peter somewhat cheekily asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus replied by saying, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And here's me thinking that I get annoyed the first time, let alone the seventh or 77 times seventh time. There's a lot of forgiveness, and when putting it into perspective, imagine those day-to-day frustrations that everyone here has. For me, driving up the ring road to work, I think I get frustrated on a daily basis. Some might call it road rage, but who knows? We know that Jesus himself was often angry. It's a natural response to get angry, but what's clear is that we shouldn't really hold on to that anger. We should forgive. Ephesians 4:26 tells us that in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down whilst you are still angry. And this isn't saying to avoid, suppress anger, but rather to deal with it properly. And not to leave it to fester, but take it to God. Talk it through with him. We know that when Jesus became angry, it talked a lot about his character. His anger was not because he hated anyone, but it was anger at our lack of faith, or out of love for others. And you can see this in Mark 3:5. And it's when Jesus looked around with anger. He grieved at the hardness of their heart. I don't know about anyone else, but I find that difficult enough that I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at not being so angry. But I can't say that I'm not all the time. The same principle applies, though, when we need to forgive, no matter what the transgression. You know, Claire talked about the small things to the big things. But it's the same principle. And they all bring up feelings of pain and sometimes even anger. For me, in my personal situation, I think that forgiveness and anger were inextricably linked. Anger, though, was something I've always struggled with. I was angry with life, the world, and scarily, I was also angry at God. I questioned why an all-powerful God would let my father die. I believe that God put people in my path, which brought me to Welton. And I remember when I finally did tackle this issue, I had a real sense of peace and healing in this area of my life. And I think growing up, I never really understood why my father didn't want to spend time with me. And then I remember when we found out that he had terminal cancer and he still didn't want to spend time with us. But I remember only now that when it was his funeral, all of the seats in the church were taken. There was people standing around the back. And so he did touch people's lives. And in the final months, he did go back to church, not with us, but I feel comfort and confidence that whilst I don't understand it, he made peace with God. And for me, that's amazing, knowing that now. But at the time, I didn't see it that way. We heard a few weeks ago in the morning service from a lady called Claire Roberts, who spoke to us about mercy and forgiveness. And how to forgive requires courage and strength. But she also recognised that Jesus expects us all to forgive as well. Claire shared with us that it's okay to be angry. God gets angry at the injustices done to us. It's easy for us to say that we've forgiven someone. I know that I've said it a lot of times. Sometimes saying that you forgive someone is easier than actually really dealing with the issue. But if we say it enough times, that doesn't make it true. Psalm 44, verse 21 tells us that we can't hide things from God. He knows our hearts. God knows if we've forgiven someone. And we need to take the time out of our lives to deal with that when it happens, not just to say that we've forgiven someone. Looking back at my journey, I was lucky. I was offered the chance to go to Run Alpha in 2016 with Matt Coombs and a couple of others. And when I was there, for the first time, I admitted to Matt about my anger and I asked him to pray for me. Despite having a faith at that point, I still hadn't come to terms with forgiving people and I still had this terrible anger that was sometimes quite consuming. And I remember when he prayed for me, I could tangibly feel the Holy Spirit. And for weeks afterwards, I felt this peace that I'd never felt. I'd never felt this before. And quite simply, it changed my life, realizing that actually I could live a life like this and not be angry. And it was amazing. It was like, gosh, how can I keep this feeling? Because it just changes your whole outlook. It changes everything, the way you see things, the way you interact with people. And yeah, I can't can't really say more than that. It was amazing. I think that I needed to forgive myself, and I needed to forgive others in order for me to move forward in my relationship with God. When I started to tackle this idea of forgiveness and what it meant, I must admit I hadn't really appreciated what the Lord's Prayer was and the Bible was telling me. It was only after a short time that I realised that I must forgive. Not that I should, but that I must forgive those who have hurt me. Safe to say, this was something I found extremely challenging. Matthew 6, 14-15 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive of you of your sins." Sorry. Part of my journey was recognizing that I was suffering from what I deem unforgiveness, which by not forgiving people and holding those emotional links and scars, I'd just been feeding into these feelings of resentment and anger that I had. And God really challenged me. And there was a Sunday evening service where Mark Fairweather asked to pray for me, and he described a picture of chains binding me down. I'm not sure I've ever shared that important moment with him or with anyone else, but it really brought home the realization that the only person holding themselves back was me, and that I had to change, and I couldn't expect God to change it for me. I had to go to him, and I thought for a time that he would come to me, but it just doesn't work that way. When I was told of the ideas of house group stopping for a few months, I was a little bit annoyed, to be honest. I was like, I really like house group. However, I did the Keys to Freedom course run by Jan and Andy Laddams. And it was during this, really, that it dawned upon me that I had to really sort a few things out. There was an important moment where we looked at how our past can determine our future, but only if we let it. There was a great analogy of how bad roots will grow bad branches, which in turn will produce bad fruit. I recognised that some of my behaviours stemmed from the emotional links and scars that had been carrying around with me, and I could only really move past this by dealing with them. Trust me when I tell you, it was a painful process to spend time with God going over these things and really being honest about it, really like stripping them all bare and working out what was really going on. I realised that I'd allowed the enemy to convince me that I was right to be angry. Almost it was a righteous anger, and it wasn't. Last week we heard from Catherine about handing things over to God. Well, it was for me the same process in handing things over to him. And I had to remind myself that he loved me no matter what, you know, what my past. He loved me. But to really break free from my past, I had to tackle it. And in order to do that, I truly had to forgive myself and others that had hurt me. When I talk about forgiving someone, I'm not telling you that you should, you know, I'm not telling you that you should forget what they've done. I don't think that's possible or really healthy outside of having a lobotomy. I also think for those who have done wrong, they should face justice. Nor should we sit in silence and allow someone to continue hurting someone. And if we see it, we need to deal with it. I genuinely think that most people want to forgive, but they don't know how. When I read up and studied this preach, I realised actually the Bible is a signpost on how to do it. But it's up to us to enact what it says. But the key thing is that God will be there with us along the way. And all we have to do is go to him. So where am I now? I think that in my mind I'm partway through the journey. Forgiveness is still a big thing for me. But I've managed to break free from most of the scars and emotions and the negative feelings that came with that. I used to dominate my day-to-day life, and now it's only an occasional day, and one day I hope I'll truly be free of it. I can't begin to describe the difference this has made, from relationships with other people, but also how I feel about myself, and more importantly, my relationship with God. And I think, for me, it's really important. Growing up, when my father died, I was just like him. And I know that really hurt my mum. And I was really horrible to her. It shames me, but I've really mended that relationship. And I can't say more than that's what it's given me back. You know, I might not have my father here, but I've got my father in heaven and I've got my mother back. I get on better with my brother. I've got a beautiful nephew who I can spend time with. And I don't think I could have done before. And that was really tough to admit that to myself. But I think maybe hard to comprehend, but I kind of feel this, I almost feel a bit lighter. My outlook on life is different. I remember Angela gave me this beautiful image of when she was walking through a field and she lay down in the field and she just saw God's beauty and nature all around her. And I see that sometimes now, and I never saw it before. Just looking around and saying, wow. But before, my mind was just full of hate and anger. And it's just allowing me to see more of God's beauty in the world. And it's amazing. One of the biggest things that I'm faced with when I see people from my past, you know, I thought, oh, you know, they've been really horrible to me. But actually now I feel at peace. I don't feel the same way I used to. I actually see things differently. And even now when people, you know, say things that hurt me, you know, again, I find that I just got to deal with it. I talk about it with God. I talk about it with my church family. And it's just so much easier. It's still difficult. You know, I can't say that I always deal with it straight away. But I do deal with it now. I don't let it stay and I don't let it fester and I don't let it rule my life. Because at the end of the day, it's up to me to sort out my own problems. Can't always expect God to do it for me. But he's there, ready to help me when I do want to do it. And I'm not going to tell you that I still don't get angry. I do. But God knows. And he knows if I've forgiven them or not. And I kind of hold myself accountable to that. To conclude, I want to leave you with something to contemplate. Something that really put things into perspective for me. We know that God paid an impossible debt for us, forgiving us our sins forever. Maybe, if like me, forgiveness is something that you struggle with, this is something you can pray about. In Ephesians 4:32, we are told we should be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Thanks for listening.